sci-fi show, Outcast. Welcome to the third sci-fi show, Outcast. Today we have an interview with the philosopher John Searle, who's a professor at Berkeley University. We're talking about some of his ideas about artificial intelligence, and I hope you all enjoy the interview. Thank you for joining us on the sci-fi show today, Dr. Searle.
Here I am.
I'd like to talk to you about your ideas of whether you think artificial intelligence is possible.
Well, it depends on what you mean by artificial intelligence. I mean, of course, it's not only possible, it's actual. That is, you can design machines that can perform in certain tasks as well as humans. I have an adding machine that will outperform any mathematician, living or dead. It depends on what you mean by artificial intelligence. If that's artificial intelligence, then it exists.
Okay, I see. Well, you have the famous example of the Chinese room.
Right.
Would you be able to explain that for the listeners of the show?
Sure. Well, basically, a lot of people think that if you design a computer that can perform as well as a human being on some task, then the computer has the same understanding as the human. And I argue that's wrong, because you might invent a program that would simulate the behavior of a Chinese speaker, and that when it got questions in Chinese, it would give answers in Chinese. But the computer doesn't thereby understand anything. And to prove that, I imagine that I'm the computer. That is, I imagine I'm locked in a room with a lot of boxes full of Chinese symbols, and I have a rule book that tells me how to manipulate the Chinese symbols, what to do when I get a Chinese symbol. I imagine that as Chinese symbols come into the room, those are called questions, though I don't know that, and I look up what I'm supposed to do, and I get back some symbols, and those are called answers. And we assume that the rule book is so good that my answers are indistinguishable from a native Chinese speaker. Everybody on the outside thinks that guy understands Chinese. But I don't understand a word of Chinese, because all I have is symbols and rules for manipulating them. But now, if I don't understand Chinese on the basis of running the program, neither does any other digital computer solely on that basis, because no computer has anything I don't have. So if I don't understand Chinese by running the program for understanding Chinese, then neither does any other digital computer. Now, the reason for all this is very simple, and that is that the computer works by manipulating symbols. It doesn't understand anything because it doesn't need to. And then, indeed, that's not a weakness of the computer. That's why it's so powerful. It just manipulates symbols according to rules. In the jargon of the linguists, the computer has a syntax but no semantics. It doesn't know how to attach any meaning to the symbols. The symbols come in, it processes them, prints out symbols, end of the day. That's all that happens.
Okay. I was reading your comments to Ray Kurzweil on his website. He obviously disagrees with you on the idea of computers thinking.
Yeah.
So what, in your opinion, would it take for a computer to be able to think? Or what does it mean to be conscious and think like a person?
Well, I mean, we know what it takes for a computer to think, because we are thinking computers. That is, we can both compute. I can add plus one to get two. In the Chinese room, I carry out the steps in Chinese. But I also can think. So what that shows is that computation has nothing to do with thinking. To think, you got to have a brain like ours, or you got to have something that can do what our brain does. We don't know how to build an artificial brain, but I don't see any reason why we couldn't in principle. I mean, the question, can you build a thinking machine, is like, can you build an artificial heart that pumps blood? We know how the heart does it, so we can do it artificially, and I don't see any reason why we couldn't build a thinking machine. So the short answer to your question is, to get a machine that thinks, you got to be able to do what the brain does. I don't know. We don't know how the brain does it, so we don't know how to build a machine.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, so in theory, artificial intelligence is possible. You just don't think we understand it well enough to know how to do it.
It depends on what you mean by artificial intelligence.
Okay,
if you mean building a machine that has consciousness, we know that's possible because we are such machines. But most people mean something different by artificial intelligence. They mean doing computer simulations on existing digital computers. And we know that would never be enough for thinking, because the operations of those machines are defined syntactically. And syntax by itself doesn't have any semantics.
I see. Now, you describe yourself in one of your papers as a biological naturalist.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're thinking about, I mean, it's a definition of a view about mind and its relation. If we're thinking about consciousness and the mind, then it's important to get the level right. At what level is it to be described? And I say it's a biological phenomenon. So you won't understand consciousness if you just look at the electrons, and you won't understand consciousness if you look at behavior. You have to see consciousness as a biological phenomenon, like digestion or photosynthesis or growth.
Okay.
And our brains are biological machines, they're biological organs, and they produce consciousness and thought processes and all the rest of it. Now, this is biological naturalism in two senses. One is, it says biology is the right level to describe the operation of the brain, and it's natural in the sense that it says consciousness and mental life is just a natural part of the real world. It's just like, as I said, like growth or digestion or photosynthesis.
Okay. Now, do you think that... I noticed you wrote a paper called Why I Am Not a Property Dualist. So you...
Yeah.
Do you think the operation of, or consciousness, is reducible to the operation of the brain, or...?
Well, it depends on what you mean by reducible. On my account, it's causally reducible, because there's nothing in my consciousness that isn't caused by brain processes. And my consciousness doesn't have any causal powers beyond the powers of those brain processes. But if you mean, can you show that consciousness is nothing but neurobiological processes described from a third person or objective point of view, then we know that's false. So the short answer is that consciousness can be causally reduced to brain processes, but it cannot be ontologically reduced to brain processes. You can't show there's nothing there but brain processes, because we all are conscious, and we know that consciousness has these features like subjectivity and qualitativeness and intentionality. And you don't get those by just describing the brain processes in third-person terms. So once you get clear about what you mean by reduction, then is consciousness reducible to brain processes? Causally speaking, yes. Ontologically speaking, no.
Okay. But your position is not functionalism, though, is it?
It's... No. Functionalism is, I think, just too ridiculous. The reason I wrote that article, Why I'm Not a Property Dualist, is a lot of people think, look, if you think consciousness is not reducible ontologically to third-person processes, then you must be a dualist by definition. And I want to argue, well, that's a bad definition of dualism, because I want to say consciousness is just a part of the ordinary biological world. That's not dualism. The only way it differs, or the important way it differs, is it has this subjectivity. It's a first-person phenomenon. And other phenomena in the biological realm don't have that, but it's still part of our biology.
That's good. Thank you. So what is your actual area of research? I mean, you do...
Philosophy. I do a lot of philosophy.
Okay.
I mean, I've written books. I've written 16 books, and they are in philosophy of language, philosophy of mind, social philosophy, theory of rationality. I've written about ethics and politics, but basically I'm just about anything in philosophy interests me.
Okay, so you think artificial intelligence is possible, but you don't think...
Depends on the definition.
But it depends on the definition, yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think consciousness is? Or did we cover this? No, I don't think we did.
Well, consciousness consists of those states and processes of feeling or sentience or awareness that begin in the morning when you wake up from a dreamless sleep, and they go on all day until you go to sleep again or get knocked on the head and become unconscious or die or otherwise stop being conscious. Dreams are also a form of consciousness.
Okay. That's pretty...
Okay, maybe that's enough.
That's probably enough. Thank you for your time, Dr. Sol. Well, that brings our interview with Dr. Searle to an end. He's quite an intimidating man to talk to in a lot of ways. But hopefully you enjoyed that and you got something out of it, and I'll talk to you next time. The the Sci-Fi Show is copyright Jason Rennie, 2006. It's released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative License, and the song Big Planet is used by permission of Nova Surfer. More great Nova Surfer tracks can be found at novasurfer.ml.